O Lord, our God, we do praise you and give thanks to you because your glory is exalted far above the earth and sky. And yet you are pleased to have us as your people come into your courts. And you tell us in your word that you sit enthroned upon the praises of your people. And we marvel at that, O Lord, even as we would say with the psalmist, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that you would visit him. We feel so small and so insignificant, and yet in Christ you have exalted us, and in Christ you will glorify us, that we may sing praises to you without sin or defilement or distraction, that we may sing praises to you purely and righteously in Christ. We do pray that you would hasten that day, and as we look forward to that day, may our hearts truly overflow in thanksgiving and gratitude to you each step of our pilgrimage here. We pray, O Lord, that whatever may be going on in our lives at this time, that you would lift our eyes above our current circumstances, that we would see Jesus and be mindful of the great salvation he has won for us. That our hearts would be filled with thanksgiving. And that even on this day, that we would sing praises to you. And as we gather with our family and friends today, that we would have opportunity to recount together the many, many blessings you have showered upon us. And so encourage us on our pilgrim way. And hasten that day when our thanksgiving and our praise will be perfect. For we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, please turn with me now in your Bibles to Psalm 148. Psalm 148, the psalm that we've just sung together. The last couple of years we've been making our way through these final psalms in the book of Psalms. Psalm 148 is found in a section of the Psalter that's known as the Great Doxology. A collection of psalms that really consists from Psalms 145 through 150. This is that last collection of psalms. All of them have the great theme of praise. If you have your Bibles open already, just turn back a moment to Psalm 145. Psalm 145 is the only psalm in the entire book of Psalms that's given the title A Song of Praise. And you'll notice how Psalm 145 ends. It's a psalm of David, and he ends in verse 21 by saying, "My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever." And Psalms 146 through 150 go on to tell us how to speak the praise of the Lord, what it looks like when God's people take the praises of the Lord upon their mouths and sing praises to him. We praise the Lord for who he is, and we praise the Lord for what he has done. And so if you look at Psalms 146 through 150, you'll notice that every one of those psalms begin and end in the very same way. They all begin and end with that statement, praise the Lord. And so Psalm 146 begins and ends, 147 begins and ends, 148 begins and ends, 149 begins and ends, 150 begins and ends. All of them begin and end with the words, praise the Lord. In Hebrew, they're the words, hallelujah, the words from which we get our word, hallelujah. You see, Handel was not the first to write a hallelujah chorus. We find it already here in the Psalms so many years before. So with that, we want to turn our attention this morning to Psalm 148 that's found in the middle of this great collection of psalms known as the Great Doxology. Let me read Psalm 148 with you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He gave a decree, and it shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling His word. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for His people, praise for all His saints, for the people of Israel who are near to Him. Praise the Lord. So far, the reading of God's own word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah. That's the way Psalm 148 begins. Praise the Lord. This is a song of praise to the Lord, a song which is to be sung by all creation, by heaven, by earth, and all the inhabitants of heaven and earth. There are two verses to this song. That's what the Psalms are. They are songs. And there are two verses to this song. The first is found in verses 1 through 6, where we read of praise to the Lord from the heavens. And then the second verse is found in verses 7 through 14, where we read of praise to the Lord from the earth. So let's begin with that first stanza, that first song. Look with me at verses 1 through 4. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Well, here in verses 1 through 2, the psalmist speaks of the invisible heavens, the heavens that we cannot see. He's speaking here of the very throne room of God, and he tells us that the very purpose of heaven and the highest heavens is to praise the Lord. The purpose of the angels and the heavenly hosts is to praise the Lord. Even those things that we cannot see, that we do not lie our eyes upon, even those things exist for this purpose, to praise the Lord. Well, then in verse 3, the psalmist begins to speak of the visible heavens, that which we can see with our eyes, the sun, the moon, the stars. And we learn that their purpose is the same. The purpose of the sun, moon, and stars is to praise the Lord. The sun praises the Lord by running its course, rising in the morning, giving light and heat throughout the day, and then setting again at night. What is the sun doing each day as it runs its course? It's praising the Lord. You've seen the glory of a sunrise. Maybe in these last months especially, where the sunrises here have been beautiful as you look out to the east, and you rejoice in those sunrises. But the psalmist is reminding us here that we can rejoice not just simply in the beauty of nature, but we can rejoice that even as the sun is rising, it's praising the Lord. You've seen the colors of a beautiful sunset, and you rejoice in that. But the psalmist again is reminding us that we can rejoice not just in the beauty of the sunset, but to know that even as the sun is setting, it's praising the Lord. The moon praises the Lord by reflecting the light of the sun in its stages, when it's waxing, when it's new, when it's waning. Rather, when it's full and when it's waning. What's the moon doing in all of its stages? It's praising the Lord. You've seen the beauty of a full moon on a clear night, and certainly you rejoice in that, but we can rejoice even more to know that the moon is praising the Creator. The stars likewise, as they shine brightly and run their courses, you can look up at the night sky and think to yourself, what are the stars doing? They're praising the Lord. You look at the constellations, you see the beauty of the Milky Way. It's praising the Lord. In verse 4, the psalmist speaks again of the invisible heavens. We read there the highest heavens and the water above the heavens. And we're given the impression here, as we are elsewhere in Scripture, that there is indeed water in heaven. You remember in Genesis 1, God creates the expanse, separating the water above from the water beneath. You remember in the flood in Genesis 7, God opens the windows of heaven. You read in the book of Revelation and you read of the sea of glass and the sea of crystal, and there are waters in heaven. And however we understand those waters in heaven, this much is clear. They exist for one reason: to praise the Lord. Well, that's what the psalmist calls the heavens, both the invisible and visible heavens, to do in verses 5 and 6. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For He commanded, and they were created, and He established them forever and ever. He gave a decree, and it shall not pass away. Here is the psalmist out in the midst of God's creation, looking at the heavens in particular, the sun, moon, and stars, thinking also upon the invisible heavens. And here is the psalmist standing, as it were, as a great choir director, and saying to the heavens above and the visible and invisible heavens, do what you're called to do. Praise the Lord. And why are they to praise Him? Because He created them by His Word. He established them forever. His decree shall not pass away. The Lord is the Creator of all things, and all things exist to praise Him. Well, after thinking upon the invisible and visible heavens in verses 1 through 6, the psalmist then moves on to things with which we can relate even more in verses 7 through 14, as he talks about praise from the earth. Look with me at verses 7 through 12. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling His word, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children. Well, in verse 7, the psalmist speaks of the earth and of the great sea creatures and all deeps. He calls upon lakes and seas and oceans to praise the Lord. You've seen a lake when it's smooth as glass, and you rejoice in the beauty of that. And the psalmist says you can rejoice even more knowing that what that lake, what that sea is doing is praising the Lord. Maybe you've seen the seas or the oceans with its great swells and mighty waves, and you can rejoice in that. And the psalmist says you can rejoice even more knowing that what the seas and the oceans are doing in their mighty waves is this: they're praising the Lord. The psalmist also calls upon the sea creatures to praise the Lord, fish and all the things that inhabit the rivers and the seas and the oceans. They're to praise the Lord. In verse 8, the psalmist speaks of fire and hail, of snow and mist and stormy winds. He calls upon all of these things also to praise the Lord. You'd almost think that the psalmist was maybe in Colorado when he penned the words of verse 8. We have all of these things, and sometimes in extreme fashion, fires. We've seen the fires up in the mountains and the foothills. Hail. You see the hail falling upon the eastern plain. Snow that sometimes comes in great abundance. The wind that blows in the spring and fall. And admittedly, while these things can sometimes make us anxious and worried, they're all under God's control. And what are they doing? They're praising the Lord. In verses 9 through 10, the psalmist continues the theme as he speaks about mountains and hills, fruit trees and cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds. Again, you might think the psalmist was in Colorado as he wrote these words. When you leave church this morning, and you're driving out of the parking lot, take a look at Long's Peak. What's it doing there? Praising the Lord. Take a look at the foothills. Better yet, take time to drive up in them. Take a drive up 34 to Estes Park or drive up to Pinewood. What are the foothills doing? They're praising the Lord. Look at the herds of elk. Maybe you've seen a bear up in the mountains or the signs of mountain lions or you've seen moose. What are they doing? They're praising the Lord. And then in verses 11 through 12, the psalmist speaks of humanity, listing several categories to represent all humanity, kings of the earth, all peoples, princes, all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens, old men and children. Before we proceed any further in Psalm 148, if you have your Bibles open yet, take a moment and look with me down Psalm 148, verses 1 through 12, and just take a moment and count with me how many things are called upon to praise the Lord in this psalm. You can count them on your fingers, or if you have a pen or pencil out, maybe just list them on your bulletin. Look with me at all these verses and all the things that are called to praise the Lord. Angels, hosts, sun, moon, shining stars, highest heavens, waters above the heavens, great sea creatures, all deeps, fire, hail, snow, mist, stormy wind, mountains, all hills, fruit trees, cedars, beasts, all livestock, creeping things, flying birds, kings of the earth, all peoples, princes, all rulers of the earth, young men, maidens, old men, and children. What number did you come up with? 30 different things in 12 verses are called upon to praise the Lord. Do you understand what the psalmist is doing? He's standing in the midst of God's great creation and he's calling upon all the universe to praise the Lord. And he calls upon humanity especially to do what we were created to do, to praise the Lord. Look with me at verses 13 and 14. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. He raised up a horn for His people, praise for all His saints, for the people of Israel who are near to Him. Praise the Lord. Well, in verse 13, the psalmist tells us that the name of the Lord is exalted. We sang of that a moment ago. His glory is exalted far above the earth and sky. The psalmist says His majesty is above earth and heaven. And as the psalmist is coming to the end of the psalm here, he's sort of recapping it. In verses 7 through 12, our attention was fixed upon the earth. In verses 1 through 6, it was fixed upon the heavens. And now as the psalmist comes to the end, he says there's something greater and more exalted than anything on earth, more exalted than anything in heaven, and that's the name of the Lord. His majesty, His glory is exalted above all. His majesty is greater than the greatest thing in the universe. His majesty is greater than all the universe put together. And that's what makes verse 14 so incredible. In verse 14, we're told that the Lord has raised up a horn for His people. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean that He has raised up a horn for His people? Well, a horn has to do with strength. It has to do with might. If you've ever been driving up into the mountains, maybe you've seen rams up there in the mountains and you see their horns, and those horns are symbolic of strength and of might. And here certainly the psalmist sees the strength and the might of the Lord having to do with deliverance and with salvation. And so the psalmist has done an incredible thing here at the end of this psalm. Up to verse 14, the psalmist has been calling upon creation to praise the Lord for His great and mighty work as creator and sustainer of all things. But here in the final verse, the psalmist says there's an even greater reason to praise the Lord. And that's because He is the Savior of His people. Some commentators have argued that verse 14 really belongs with Psalm 149 because there's such a shift in the theme. Up to verse 13, it's all about creation, but suddenly you have the shift at the end of verse 14 where we shift from praising God as creator to praising God as Savior. And so some commentators believe that that's verse 14 really belongs with the next Psalm. I think they're wrong. I think the psalmist is doing something very intentional here. He's telling us that as we praise God for His great work in creation, it should lead us to praise God for His work in redemption. To praise Him as our Savior. The psalmist is telling us here in the final verse that while as great as it is to praise God as our Creator, we have even greater reason to praise the Lord as our Savior. And so this psalm, Psalm 148, is a psalm that is proclaiming Jesus to us. You see, the great horn that the Lord has raised up for His people is Jesus. He is our strength. He is our salvation. He is our Savior. And so we praise God, not only as our great Creator, but as our great Deliverer, because in Jesus, God has done something marvelous. He's brought sinners like you and me near to Him. And you see, here's where Psalm 148 and these songs of doxology are so helpful for us. And perhaps especially on Thanksgiving Day. If we're honest with ourselves, there are certainly times in life where we don't feel very much like singing. Times when we don't feel very much like praising God. Times when we don't feel very much like giving thanks to God. And sometimes we even feel that way on Thanksgiving Day. Sometimes our burdens are heavy. Sometimes anxieties take hold. Sometimes our bodies are weary. Sometimes our hearts are cold. Well, what can we do in such times? Well, one of the best things we can do is to do what the psalmist did in Psalm 148. One of the best things we can do is to step out into creation and remember that all of creation is praising God. And as you spend time in creation, as you begin to meditate and think upon the fact that what all of creation is doing, the sun, the moon, the stars, the mountains, the hills, the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, that what all of it is doing is praising God, that has a way of beginning to transform you. It has a way of changing your perspective. We praise God because of His creation. We praise God because of His providence. As I was writing the sermon this past week, I happened to look out my window of the study here at church and I saw an eagle soaring over above Bodecker Reservoir. And I watched that eagle for a few moments as it continued to circle around and soar and got higher and higher and eventually couldn't see it any longer. And as I watched that eagle flying against the blue sky, I thought of John Denver's song, "You know he'd be a poor man if he never saw an eagle fly." And then it occurred to me that John Denver really has nothing on the psalmist. Because while we can get out into nature and be very much enriched by that, there's something that makes it even greater still. And that's the realization that what creation is doing is praising God. It's the realization to me as I was writing this sermon that what that eagle was doing flying through the air was praising God. Doing what God created him to do. You see, what a gift God has given us in creation. It's easy for us to forget that, and sometimes we need to remember to do what the psalmist did here, to go out into creation, to get away from our computers and our TVs and our phones and our screens, to get away from the endless news cycle, to get off the highway and the busyness of the city, to get away from the things in our lives that tend to weigh us down, and to just take some time and look at the beauty of God's creation, realizing that all of creation is praising God, doing what it was created to do. And that it's doing this even as it groans, as in the pains of childbirth. It's still praising God. And it reminds us to do so as well. All of creation is praising God, and yet God didn't give His Son for creation. He didn't give His Son for the angels. He didn't give His Son for the heavenly hosts. He didn't give Jesus for the sun, the moon, the stars. He didn't give Jesus for the heavens or the waters above the heavens. He didn't give Jesus for the sea creatures or the deeps, for the fire, the hail, the snow, the mist, the stormy wind. He didn't give Jesus for the mountains, for the hills, for the fruit trees, for the cedars, the beasts, the livestock, the creeping things, the flying birds. He didn't give His Son for that eagle I saw flying in the sky. Jesus didn't die for that flying bird. Beloved, He gave His Son for you. He died for you. To bring you near to Him. Think about that for a few moments. That of all God's vast creation, what He wants near to Him is you and me. Not the birds of the air or the beasts of the field, not the trees, the hills, the mountains, the wind, the mist, the snow, the hail, all these different things listed. What He wants near to Him is you. And that's why He gave His Son. And that's why He raised up Jesus to bring His people near to Him. And so whatever's going on in your life on this Thanksgiving Day, and whatever your plans may be for this day, I would encourage you to take a little walk outside. And if you can't do that, at least take a few moments and look out the window at the mountains, at the sky, at the clouds, at the birds. What are they doing? They're praising the Lord. And while they have reason to praise the Lord as their Creator, beloved, you have even more reason to praise Him and to give Him thanks. Because He's not only your Creator, He's your Savior. And He's doing something. He's bringing you near to Him. Remember that. And let your songs of praise begin. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's pray together. O Lord, our God, we do give thanks to You for the beauty of creation. A beauty that we so often take for granted. Father, we live in one of the most beautiful places, and we see the beauty of a bright blue sky. We see the beauty of the mountains and the snow on the peaks of them. And Lord, we're surrounded by so much beauty. And we pray that You would help us to remember that what all of creation is doing is this. They're praising You. And may that lead us to do so as well. To praise You not only for Your great work in creation, but even more than that. To praise You as our great Redeemer. As our great Savior. To be mindful, O Lord, that even in all the ugliness of our sin and our failings, that You didn't give Your Son to save creation, but that You gave Your Son to save a people. To save sinners like us. And to bring us near to You. And we thank You, O Lord, that You are bringing that great day. When creation will be groaning no more, when we will be groaning no more, when we will live in a new heavens and a new earth in which all will be praise to You. Father, would You hasten that day? And even as we look forward to that great day, we pray that You would fill our mouths and our hearts with thanksgiving and praise to You. Praise to You above all things for Jesus. And so as we celebrate today, as we gather with friends and with family, we count the many blessings that You've given to us. May we above all things give thanks to You for Jesus, our great Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.